Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be in here. For multiple reasons. One, because the Lord is here. Another, because it's warmer in here than it is outside. I've been outside these last few days a little bit, and it's cold out there. You want to make sure you're wrapped up when you're out. I'm thankful I have the opportunity to teach today. I'm thankful that God has put a love in my heart for His Word, for His people, for His house. You know, this house is God's house. In itself, it's not much to it. It's just a building. But when God's people arrive, it's different. He comes with us, and His presence is here with us, and we're able to feel that presence, and He lifts us up and gives us strength. He gives us direction and guidance. It is, and God has placed a love in my heart for His house. You know, nothing can take that away. Satan tried to one time, and I almost allowed it. But God got a hold of me, and He dealt with me, and He put a love down there in my heart that nothing can take out. Satan can't get it. There's no way. God is God, and He put a love in my heart for His house and His people. And I'm thankful for that. Because there was a time that I had made my mind up. I was finished. I didn't want nothing else to do with this. And I was ready to walk away from it. But yet, you know, God wasn't finished with me. He wasn't finished with me. He kept His hand on me, and He wouldn't let me go. And God deals with you. He gets your attention. You know, and I love God with all my heart, and I'm thankful for His Spirit, His truth. Today, I'm going to attempt to teach, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? That's the title of my message today. Who is Jesus? Jesus' name was decided based on a mission in life, and it was determined before the foundation of the world. He came to save us from our sins. His name was determined before the foundation of the world of who He would be called. And our debate begins who Jesus is when His full identity is discussed. There's many people out there that don't really know who Jesus is. Some say He's a myth. They don't know. He was just somebody made up. Some say He's a historical figure. He was back in the old days. They wrote about Him. But He was just a man. He was a historical figure. Some say He was a carpenter from Nazareth back in them days. And that's all He was. But He was a whole lot more than that. He was a carpenter. Don't know what He built, but I imagine He built it right. And today He's building something else. He's building lives. He's shaping lives. He takes that sandpaper of the Word of God and takes off the rough edges of us. And He shapes us. And He molds us into what He would desire for us to be. He's more than a carpenter. A prophet sent from God, still just a man. A philosopher, a moralist, a religious revolutionary. There's a lot of things people have called Jesus. Today, a lot of them use His name as a swear word. They don't realize what they're saying. They don't realize the power that's in that name. But Jesus, was he a real man? Or was he God? The Bible tells us he was both. He was a real man, but he was also God. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus dwelt the fullness of the Godhead. All power, all authority, all healing, everything dwelt in Jesus Christ. So he was both man and he is God. He's a real man that lived a sinless life. He was born just as you and I was. Flesh and blood. But yet he was also God. He lived a sinless life. He faced many situations, but yet he never sinned. He never failed. After 33 and a half years, he died on a cross where people that who didn't understand who he was hung him. He became our sacrifice so we could go free. He gave his life for each one of you and me. But you know what? Even though he died on that cross, it was impossible for death to hold him. That's where the God factor comes in. The man died, but God raised him up and put life back into him. And he began to preach again. The Romans thought he was a rabble-rouser, an insurrectionist, a revolutionary. They thought he'd come to take over the kingdom, to kick out Pilate, to put the Israelites, the Jews, back in control. They didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know he was God incarnate. They thought he was a man. They thought he was here just to cause trouble, to try to take over the kingdom, to try to rouse them out. The scribes and the Pharisees thought he was a fraud, a blasphemer, a glutton, a drunkard, a man possessed with the devil. They thought he was a fraud and a blasphemer because he proclaimed to be God. They thought he was a glutton, a drunkard because he sat and ate with sinners, people that normally a religious, devout person wouldn't go with. They didn't want to have anything to do with. But you know, God came into the world to save such people, to save me, to save you, because such as we were at one time. A man possessed with the devil. See, these scribes and Pharisees were very righteous. They were the elite, let's say. But Scripture says they were full of dead men's bones. And the outside was white as sepulchers. They looked good on the outside, but the inside, they were dead. Because they did not recognize who Jesus was. And they did not want to, I don't think, because of the power they held and the positions they held. They were afraid they would lose them. Because of who Jesus was and the miracles that he was doing. They said he was a man possessed with the devil. Why? Because people were being healed. People were being fed. A regular man couldn't do that. But they didn't want to proclaim that he was God. So they said he was a man possessed with the devil. But who does the Bible say Jesus is? Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Scripture says there's only one God and only one Father. So there can't be multiples. So Jesus was God and Father, but he was also man. 1 Timothy 2:5 said, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He's our mediator. He brings our petitions. We bring our petitions to him. And he watches over us and keeps us. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory." Who was manifested in the flesh? Jesus. But it says God was. Same one. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Who was preached unto the Gentiles? Jesus was. He was preached unto us to give us an opportunity to realize who he was. We believed on him, then he's received up in glory. He was the Son of God. John 20:31 says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loves us. And I apologize up front. I've got a lot of scriptures today, so I will just be reading them. But to say who Jesus is, it's out of the book. His word tells us who he is. If the ushers will do hand out that handout I've got a handout for you. I don't know if I'll touch on it today, but it's dealing with the book of Hebrews, the whole chapter of who Jesus is. I'll just read it here real quick. Who is Jesus? Each chapter in the book of Hebrews gives us a graphic picture of who Jesus is. Verses Hebrews 1, the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. Hebrews 2, the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 3, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Hebrews 4, our high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews 5, the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 6, our hope, the anchor of our soul. Hebrews 7, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 8, the mediator of a better covenant. Hebrews 9, the sanctifier of our consciences. Hebrews 10, a new and living way. Hebrews 11, the better thing provided for us. Hebrews 12, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 13, the immutable God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The book of Hebrews gives a perfect picture of who Jesus is. It tells you who he is, who he was. It's a great book to talk and teach people out of who Jesus is if they're searching. And we have talked about Jesus being God. 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." This is the true God. There is no other God. Jesus is the one and only God, the true God, and he has the keys to eternal life for us. Jesus was declared to be God long before Mary was conceived in Mary's womb. The Old Testament prophesies of Christ, announce his deity. His deity is very important. The Creator become part of the creation. He come down, the everlasting Father come down, became a child in a manger. Therefore, Jesus truly is the Emmanuel, which Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus is the Almighty God become man. To think an Almighty God loved us enough to step off of his throne in heaven, to basically look at a piece of dust, because we are made of dust. The Almighty God loved us enough, he stepped off his throne and come down and paid the price where we could once again have a right relationship with him that we lost. He come down to give his life so our life could be spared. He loved you that much. The Almighty God humbled himself and come down and became a man, but yet he was also God. Colossians 1:15 says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The Apostle Paul described him as great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our great God and our Savior. Who is Jesus? Right there. Our great God and Savior. That's who Jesus is. The Apostle Peter described him as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me go back to Titus 2:13. I jumped down one. Or did I? Nope. 2 Peter 3:18. Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Both these were mighty apostles. And who did they say Jesus was? Both Lord and Savior. He was God and he was our Savior. The most important reason Jesus has to be God, if he isn't and wasn't God, his death on the cross wouldn't pay the price for the sin that he paid his price for. 1 John 2:2 says, and he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's have that slide for propitiation, please. The dictionary version for propitiation is translated from the Greek halasterium, to conciliate. Propitiation is the appeasement of the wrath of God through sacrifice, prayer, or some other means. Personal guilt is removed and a broken relationship with God is restored only by the sacrifice of Christ, received by faith and obedience. God has sent forth Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, Romans 3:25. He became the propitiation for our sins. He became the sacrifice. He became the one that paid the price for us. So, Jesus was God and he was man. And because he was who he was, both God and man, when he came, he brought salvation for the lost. He brought help for the troubled, healing for the sick, freedom for those that Satan has bound, and a hope that reaches beyond this life. That's what Jesus brought us. He brought us salvation, help, healing for our sickness, freedom from those that Satan has bound. Satan will try to bound you where you cannot move and you do not know which direction to go. He will try to mix your mind up and set you on a path that leads you away from God. But Jesus come to take you away from that. He came to remove Satan out of your life, to give you the power to overcome it. But who does the Bible say Jesus is? He says he's God, Isaiah 9:6. We've already read that one. His name, unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Matthew 1:23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he was a man. He was born with the birth from a birth of a woman. But the difference was his father was God. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. He was a son of God. John 20:31 says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing, you may have life through his name. That we may have life through his name. Through that name, we have the keys to unlock the kingdoms of this world. Through that name, we have victory over the things that Satan comes against us with. Through that name, we have the ability to rebuke Satan, that he may step back. He cannot cross over the blood that Jesus shed. That name gives us the power and authority to rebuke him and come against him through the name of Jesus Christ. In that name is our salvation. In that name is our healing. In that name is our strength. God gives us the ability to access the power that's in that name. But it's up to us to engage it. We have to engage it. We can't just sit back and come to God and say, God, I need you. He expects us to do something. He expects us to believe. He expects us to have the faith. He expects us to become engaged of who Jesus is. And to realize that he was man, but that he was also God Almighty. He is God, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come, hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus was declared to be the Almighty God when he was born. And that didn't change. He's the image of the invisible God. God is a spirit. Can you see a spirit? You can't see it. So you can't see the spirit. God's spirit is among us. You can't see that. But Jesus was the image of that spirit. He was the one that took on the bodily form to walk and talk and teach at this time. And our salvation can come only through the faith in Christ. He is the door. Why is he the door? Because he's God. And he's standing at that door. And the only way you're going to get to him is for him to open it. But you got to believe who Jesus is. You got to believe that he is man, but he is also God. And he has made a way for us. Jesus' deity is the only way to salvation, to recognize who he is. You can have the greatest pedigree of serving God, your parents, your grandparents, but unless you recognize who Jesus is, that pedigree is not going to do you any good. You need to recognize who Jesus is. Who is he to you? Who is he to me? Who is God? We need to recognize that he is the one. that paid the price for us. He is the one that gave his life. He is the one that come down from glory. Amen. He is the one that gives us strength each and every day. But who did Jesus say he was? This caused an uproar among the scribes and Pharisees and the rest of the Jews. He said, "I and my Father are one." John 10, verse 30 through 33 says, "I and my Father are one." The Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. Of which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They wanted to stone him. They didn't recognize who he was. They didn't recognize him at his birth, and they didn't recognize him in the temple, and they didn't recognize him as he was teaching and preaching out in the countryside. They were blind to who Jesus was. They said he was a man, a blasphemer. "I am the way, truth, and life." John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man can come unto the Father but by me, through me." He is the key that opens the door for us. "He was a son of man," Mark 2:10, "but that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Again, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was I am." Referring back to the Old Testament, he was back here before Abraham was. And God, when God called himself, "I am," he was back there. What did Jews want to do there? They wanted to stone him again. Not for the works he said, but what he said he was. They thought he was blaspheming because they recognized him as a man, but they didn't recognize him as God. They didn't recognize him as their Messiah. John 1:1 says, the word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word, it says, "In the beginning the Word was God." And said the Word was made flesh. Who was made flesh? Jesus. He was made flesh. That Word, God's Word, indwelled within him. He was God's spokesman. He knew what God wanted to say. But yet, the Jews wanted to stone him because they didn't recognize who he was. Who do I say that Jesus is? In our heart, in our mind, who do we say Jesus is? Jesus turned to his disciples and asked them this question. Matthew 16:13-17 says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He said unto them, 'But who say ye that I am?'" They told him, when he asked the disciples, "Says, who do you say that I am?" And they say, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, some say you're a prophet." Jesus pressed them a little bit harder. He looked at them and said, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" He wanted them to say themselves who he thought he was. He didn't care about what others said he was or who he was. He wanted to know what his disciples thought he was and who he was. He wanted to know what their true feelings was. Peter said in verse 16, it says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Amen. God will reveal who he is if we'll open our hearts unto him. He will reveal that he is Jesus Christ. At every function of our life, we need to realize who Jesus is. At one time or another, we have to reckon who Jesus is. Every individual will have to come to the realization of who Jesus is. If you don't do it now, Scripture says, every knee shall bow on that judgment day. Every knee will bow. So if you don't do it now willingly, you will do it there, because God says it will happen. But everyone has to come to recognize who Jesus is. Do we accept him as God, or do we accept him as just a man, as a myth, as a philosopher, as a good man? It takes more than being just a good man. Nicodemus was a good man. He was a Pharisee. But Jesus told him, he says, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He was a good man. But Jesus told him there was more. It takes more than being just a good man. You have to recognize who Jesus is and let him be the one that's ruling your life. When Jesus went to the walking through Samaria, and he stopped at the well, talked to the woman at the well, and he told her things of his life, or her life, and she says, "The Messiah," and he said, "I am him." And he told her all the things that she had done, who she was living with, what she had done in her life, and she believed, and she went back to the village. But what did the other Samaritans do when she went back to the village? They believed her, but yet they did something. They come to where Jesus is to see. John 4, 41 through 42, and when they had come, it says, "And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." They didn't just take her word for it. They had to make a personal choice, a personal acknowledgement of who Jesus is. They come to him and heard him speak, and when he spoke, they said, "Thou art indeed Christ, the Savior of the world." They recognized who he was. And the Samaritans was an outcast people. The Jews didn't want nothing to do with them. But yet, they recognized who Christ was. And the scribes and Pharisees that were in the temple daily, they didn't know him, because they wasn't searching, not with their whole heart. They were more concerned about their power, about their authority, and the things they had than what Christ was to them at that time. So who we think Jesus is cannot be a repetition of what somebody else says. It cannot be a repetition of what the pastor says. It cannot be a repetition of what your mom and dad says. It cannot be a repetition of what your uncle or aunt or anybody else says. It has to be a proclamation in your heart yourself. Who do you think Jesus is? It's a personal experience. God, he doesn't care about everybody else, what they say, just like the apostles. He didn't care what all the other people, he wanted to know what they said, what they thought. He wanted to know what they were thinking who he was.
Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the one to come down that was both God and man. And he wants a personal relationship with each one of us. Today, Jesus is calling sinners to repentance. If sinners are to be saved, there must be a confession of who Jesus really is. If believers are to be renewed, restored, there has to be a confession of who Jesus is. For revival to come, there has to be a spiritual awakening of who Jesus is. And to make him the center of all that we are and all that we can be. There has to be awakening in each and every one of our lives of who Jesus is. Is he just a figurehead? Is he just a man? Is he God? Who is Jesus? What is he to us? What is he to you? He wants a personal relationship with each of us. But we have to make that proclamation. We have to be the one to stand. Jesus is God. He is my Savior. He is the one that paid the price for me. Amen. He is the one that lives within me. He is the one that gives me strength each and every day. He is the one that lifts me up in the midnight hour. He is the one that gives me peace in the night when I'm tossing and turning and don't know what to do. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is my friend. He is the closest companion that I could ever have. For the church to be revived and a harvest reaped, we need to recognize who Jesus really is. We need to recognize who Jesus really is. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with us. For you to accept his gift of eternal life, for you to accept his sacrifice for our sins. Next slide, last slide, please. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Will you open? Will you accept of who he is? Will you accept the sacrifice that he paid for you? Will you accept the mercy and grace that he gives us? Will you accept that he is God? Who is Jesus to you? If you will all stand, I ask this question of each of us. Who is Jesus to you? What is Jesus to you? He needs to be more than a last resort that we go to in time of need. He needs to be more than just a figurehead of the denomination that we serve. He needs to be a God that is alive and moving and living within our hearts. He needs to be a God that is sitting on the throne of our life, directing and guiding us in each and every step that we take. He needs to be a God that is alive and directs your footsteps. He's the one that knows what temptation you will face tomorrow. He's the one that knows what strength, what path you need to walk. There may be a temptation in your pathway if God is leading. If you're allowing God to lead you, he knows that temptation is out there. He can direct you around it where you will not face that temptation. But if you have to face it, he will give you the strength to overcome it, because he will never put you in a place where you cannot have a way of escape. God will give you what you need. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's asking, will you open up? Will you recognize who I am? Will you accept the sacrifice that I give? Will you accept the love that I have for you? He's knocking. Will you open? Who is Jesus? Who is he to you? Who is he to me? He's more than just a curse word. He's more. Oh, so much more. Oh, he's more than we could ever hope for. Who is Jesus? Allow him to be Lord of all in your life. Allow him to be the Savior. He's knocking. In the midnight hour, he's knocking. Open to me. I am the one you're seeking. But you have to open the door. When you're hungry and you're looking for something and you don't know what it is, listen, somebody's knocking at your door. God said, I am the one that you are seeking. I am what you are looking for. But he's not going to open that door. You have to make that commitment. You have to be the one to open the door and confess who he is and recognize who he is and allow him to have dominion in your life. You are the one. You've got to make the move yourself. Who is Jesus? This altar is open if anybody wants to come and search their heart who Jesus really is to us. He's more than you could ever hope for. He's the God of this universe. And he has given us the opportunity to partake of that love, that mercy, and that grace. He has given us a way of escape. But will you accept that way? A lot of people in this world, I've saw different video clips. They'll ask who Jesus is. They'll say he was a man. He was a man that did good things. But they don't really recognize who Jesus is. They don't really recognize who he is and who he was. They don't recognize what he has done for them. What has Jesus done for you? I know what he's done for me. I would not be here today if it wouldn't be for God. Jesus reached down and touched a young man that was mixed and confused. Didn't know what direction to take. Didn't know what to do, what to say. But you know, my Jesus, he got a hold of me and he brought me into the truth. And he placed a love in my life and heart that can never go away. I know who Jesus is. He's my God and he's my Savior. To him I owe my life. To him I owe everything that I have. I need to place him upon the throne of my life and let him be the leading force. He's more than a man. He's more than a man. He's our God. The blood he shed covers us. And that blood that he shed, Satan cannot walk over. That blood that Jesus Christ shed, Satan cannot walk over. It's a barrier under him. It's a barrier that Satan can't cross.